I'm an addict, they call me Elena. Our first speaker that I get the privilege to introduce, I met her probably four or five years ago, I believe, and I got to get to really know her when she started doing the women's meeting, you know, and I'm so grateful that she gets to be a part of our group. I'm excited. I get to hear her story. She did get to share at one of our functions, and I know it's nervous up here because I got nervous too anytime I speak, but I'm grateful that she's here to share finding the path of recovery. Kim C.
Hi, I'm Kim. I'm an addict. I'm super honored and grateful to be here. I'm kind of nervous just because it's a topic, spiritual purpose in recovery, and it's not just like my story, but I'm just gonna wing it today. So, first of all, a couple weeks ago, I celebrated 9 years clean. Thank you. It has gone by really fast, but it's also like feels like just yesterday that I was on my knees begging God to take over for me because I could not do it alone anymore. Everything that led up to my first step, it's just the same as everybody's story probably. Like a lot of half-assed trying to get clean, a lot of wanting it my way, wanting to control my getting clean, going to doctors, trying to figure out like a quick fix for my problem. Things didn't really get totally out of control. Like, I was able to juggle my addiction by, you know, moving around, getting a new boyfriend, you know, just changing things up and starting over. Until I had a permanent fixture, my son. I had a baby. And I tried really hard to juggle being an addict and taking care of a baby. That is really what brought me to my knees personally, because I didn't care about myself. I didn't have enough self-respect to care about how I was living. But when I saw my child suffering, that is when things started to click in here. I had such a low self-esteem and like deep self-loathing that I didn't see myself as somebody's child, or God's child, or just a worthy person. I wasn't even like raised, my parents loved me. Like who the fuck, like who knows where that self-loathing came from? Came from a lot of things, you know, it came from within. It's a darkness that I think a lot of us have. And so after having Holden, my first child, and, you know, it got to the point where I couldn't function as a human being anymore. I couldn't take care of myself. I couldn't shower. Like, I couldn't take care of basic human needs, let alone take care of a child. He was five by that time. So I really tried for years to keep my addiction going and be a mother at the same time. So anyway, it got to the point where I had to ask for help, like really truly ask for help, and he was taken from me and put into foster care, and I lost complete control over this thing that I'd been controlling for years, like being a mom. I'm still a mom, you know, but I'm also an addict. I'm also using. So that is really what brought me to my knees, being faced with losing something I could not live without, which wasn't my own life. It was my child. And that is what was my first spiritual awakening. I went to treatment. I tapped in to an NA community in that town, in the town that I was living in, and started sowing those seeds of recovery, started building those foundations. Like, I tried before to get clean in different times, and it never was right. But this time, I didn't have Holden, I didn't have my family, I had nothing, and I had to keep going. I got him back, God willing, through going through the court system. I couldn't manipulate anybody to get him back. I couldn't lie. The judge saw right through me. And I had to really work some stuff, and I did. And but it wasn't like this, like, aha moment where, oh, I got clean and everything was great. Hell no. Like, it was so hard. That first couple years, I relapsed a little bit, and I couldn't get 30 days. And that was hard, like that. But I had the recovery community behind me at that point. I'd already made those connections, and those people pulled me back in. Like, they didn't force me, but I knew that they were there. I knew I had a place to go. I never really fully went out. My foot was halfway out the door. I wasn't ready. Like, I wanted to control everything. I wanted to feel better right now. I feel uncomfortable. I need to get high. Like, this sucks. I'm lonely. I need to get high. And, like, it took years to lose that obsession. Today, like, I can feel extremely uncomfortable. I can go through massive pain, and I'm okay. Like, I don't have to use today. I can live life on life's terms. But it was such a long time coming. When I think about people just coming in, I was so sick even 3 years clean. Like, I recently looked back at a video that I had taken, and I could see it in my eyes how sick I was. And I was like 2 years clean. Like, I was completely self-obsessed, vain, insecure. I could just see it. And I don't look like that today. I just want to say, hold on. Like, it gets better, you know? Like, you lose the obsession with yourself. You lose the obsession to use. And it's true that, like, that God does take that insanity away from us. Because that's what I saw when I saw that video of myself 2 years clean. I look freaking insane. And I wasn't using. Like, I didn't trust my partner. I met my partner, my husband, in recovery. I was 90 days clean. He was about 2 years. We just hit it off. We got along really great. It was great. But I wasn't ready to get in a relationship. I did not trust men. I didn't trust myself. I thought everybody lied and cheated. It took a long time to trust. It took a long time to respect myself enough to where I thought that I deserved love, real love. Like, not manipulating fake lies, what can I get out of this person? Like, just real selfless love. Like, I could give that to my child, but I couldn't accept it. So today I can accept love. I'm in a stable relationship. We're still together. We have three beautiful boys, but we had two more. And my kids have never seen me cry. They've seen me cry. They've seen me yell. You know, they've seen me be human, but they've never seen me be under the influence of a substance. Like, they've never seen me not be able to wake up in the morning or wake up freaking out. Or they've never been in the back of the car when I've had to go find drugs. Like, I had to do that with my first child. You know, I had to put him in very dangerous situations. I didn't have to, but I did. And today, I don't. My kids only know me as mom. Human, imperfect, but mom. Stable, responsible, consistent. I'm, like, so opposite to the way I was when I used. I'm the same person. I have the same soul. There was always a light inside me, even in my darkest hour. And I think of God as like, or my higher power as the ultimate light, and like that not ever going out inside me, but when I gave up my will and my life to my higher power, my light got stronger. And it's just such an amazing thing. I'm totally different, but I'm also the same. But like my personality has changed. I'm on time. Like, I'm reliable. I have a job. I'm back in school. So I'm a lot of things I never thought I could be. And it didn't happen the first couple years. Like, it took a long time. I lost my mom since I've been in recovery, and she died very suddenly. So it was just one of those, like, spiritual, like, just shattering of my reality that happened. And I had about 6 years clean then. So I look back and I think, God, I had 6 years where she got to see me, like, becoming a better person, becoming who I was meant to be. What a gift. And I have to remind myself that. Not everybody gets that. I'm so grateful that I could show my parents and the people that I love that people can come back. People can recover. There's a part of me, though, that thinks, I wish I had more time with her. Why did God take her? My go-to is anger. And I'm like, I deserve more. And I have to remind myself that I'm not in control. I don't even know why I'm here, but I'm here, you know, and I'm grateful. But it's not me who put myself here. Like, and I have to be grateful for the beautiful life that I have. My mom got to see me become the mother I was meant to be, become a loving wife, become just a valuable person. And I'm grateful for that. You know, I really am. I feel like if she would have been taken sooner in my recovery, I couldn't have done it. It was when I had about 6 years, and I went straight back to recovery because I couldn't handle it alone. So I started going to the women's meetings. I started chairing the women's meetings and just reaching out to these other women who relate, who understand what it's like to love your mother as a daughter, or to lose a mother. You know, loss is just a part of life, unfortunately. I hate it, but, you know, and that, you know, in my addiction, like, I lost stuff, okay? I lost houses, I lost cars, I lost my sanity, I lost my self-respect, I lost my child, I got him back, but I didn't, like, lose my life, like, I didn't kill anybody, like, I didn't have to go to prison. Like, I feel like there's a part of me that was like, oh, I got out pretty good, you know, like, I tricked the universe, like, I'm good now, you know, but, like, no, I realize now that I lost 20 years of my life using, that I could have been with my family, I could have been making memories with my mom, with my dad, with my siblings. You know, I can't go back and change that. But, like, we do lose so much. And time of our lives is one of them. And today, I'm not perfect. Like, there's so much I need to work on. I still want to control things. I still want to... I need to tap into my higher power and ask for help every second, like all the time, just so I can become a better person and live life with grace. But I'm so much better than I was. And if it wasn't for, especially those first three steps, like, it's just the foundation, you know, and it's great when, you know, when you go through life and things happen, which it will, as Elena says, life be lifin', and I love that, because it sure does, and it won't stop, but, like, we have this foundation, we have support, we have each other. It's just such a beautiful thing. Like, we're actually so lucky. Like, it sucks. I know people that are, like, you know, half-ass addicts or just alcoholics, but go to their job, you know, who are suffering, who haven't been brought to their knees. Like, my addiction brought me so far down that I had nowhere else to go but death or climb myself up. And it sucked, but I'm grateful for that because today I'm such a better person for it. And I know there was more I wanted to say, but I don't know where I'm at on time. Oh, really? Okay, geez. I talk fast. So another miracle that happened for me was the desire or the losing that obsession. Like, it was amazing. Like, it didn't happen overnight. It is absolutely such a process, and it's the same with my spiritual awakening. Like, I can't pinpoint when these things happened, but they did, and it happened along the way somewhere, and I'm absolutely so grateful, because that was something that, like, was my, you know, it was just, that's what led me, my addiction was just, and I know it did for all of us, but yeah, I'm just really grateful that I lost that desire to use. So, it is a process, and it's not instant gratification, and it takes work. And I think as addicts, we just want everything. We want to feel better right now, and that's what our addiction did for us, you know. And I don't know, I just want to say, like, hold on and white knuckle it. It gets so much better, you know, just to go through it the hard way. And I always wanted to find the easier, softer way. So, and, you know, at times I thought I did, but that easier, softer way always has complications and repercussions. So, I don't know, like, I've just gone through a lot, you know, and I've stayed clean. We've moved across the country. I lost my mother, my dad got in a horrible accident riding his bike. And he was like the rock of my family. He was always the one that was always there. You know, he cut me off during my addiction, but as soon as he saw that I was trying, and I was trying to better myself, and it was for real, he, you know, our relationship resumed. And to see him, something happened to him, like that, it was just, he severed like a spinal cord, so he couldn't, you know, he can walk now, but like he's not, you know, it fucking sucks. And like, when that happened, it was a year before my mom passed away, and my mom loved him still, even though they were divorced. And like, I reached out to her, and we would pray together every night on the phone, because I lived in Oklahoma, they're in Illinois. And it was like, it felt like, this is what we can do to help Dad. Like, because I wanted to do something. I wanted to fix it. And I couldn't. So I prayed. And at the time, all our prayers, I'm Catholic, so we're saying like St. Padre Pio's prayer of health, and like just all these crazy prayers we're saying every night together over the phone. And you know, and I had this moment of clarity about, you know, a week before she died, we're praying, and I was thinking, like, what if we're saying these prayers for her too? And then I was like, nah, Mom's fine, it's Dad's that's hurt. And then I talked to her on a Thursday, we said our prayers, I love you, Mom, you know, and the next day she died. She was sick and didn't know it. And it was like God gave me that time with her because he knew I needed that. And if I wouldn't have had those months, it was about 9 months that we talked every night and we prayed for my dad. If we didn't have that, like, I would feel like... Like, I feel like I got what I needed. Not what I wanted, but I got what I needed. And just how, you know, and she told me before she died that she'd never felt so close to God or spiritual. And I was like, well, I'm so happy. Like, I'm so happy that you're there, Mom. Like, you know, I'm not quite there yet. But, like, together, it was stronger together, me and her, you know, praying. And, it just felt like we were doing something. And then I lost her, and I'll never be able to talk to her in this realm again. And it's just, we're so lucky for today. This is all we have. So, and I have to remind myself that, because I, in the everyday chaos of life and getting the kids to school and this and that, and it's hard to be completely, like, you know, who I want to be. But, like, that's why we have this program. It grounds us. It brings us back to what we need to be doing, which is just being kind to ourselves and others and accepting love and giving love. So I'm just so grateful. This program absolutely has saved my life, has brought me back to my higher power, to the source of everything. And if it wasn't for that, like, man, I wouldn't be here. None of us would. So I'm just grateful for this second life that I'm living. It's my second chance. And that's all I have.
All right, and I'm going to have Charlie G. from Hawaii, Arizona, come up and speak. Yeah. Right?
No, that's okay. That's okay.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Charlie, and I'm definitely an addict.
Hi, Charlie.
And I got to start just by, you know, thanking Oklahoma for once again showing up and doing this amazing thing. And there's not that many people in here, but I know most of you know the people that do this. They put a lot of work into this, you know, these conventions, these events they do. And I'm always grateful about that, because sometimes I got a problem showing up like that. You know, if you didn't know, none of them get paid to do what they do. You know, they take time out of their lives, their busy schedules, and they show up and they make this stuff happen. You know, and that blows me away. You know, the journey to freedom, right? Finding our path. You know, they kind of go together. I loved the topic when Dwight told me. And I'm a fill-in too, man. You know, I wasn't the first choice to come up here, but God had a plan. You know, and I show up today. You know, and, you know, I'm here to talk about me and tell my truth. And it's been rough lately for me. Some that know me know, and you, the rest of you have no idea. But, you know, so, and I could talk. So how much time I got? 10 o'clock?
Yep.
Perfect. So, you know, my path, I'm going to touch on it. The path I was on, the path I want to be on, and the path I'm on today, you know. Thanks to God and thanks to Narcotics Anonymous for showing me this new way I get to live, the opportunities that are available to me, you know. And, you know, I'll just get it going, right? You know, I'm an addict, and when I first showed up here, it was like many of us, you know, the pain and suffering was so great. You know, I suffered from PTSD, trauma, abuse, you know, all those things. I didn't know how to direct any of that. I was just a professional at putting on the mask and, you know, letting you know just how okay I was, even when I wasn't okay. So I had no idea what being in touch with your feelings was or looked like, or being in touch with your emotions. I was just lost, you know. And I know it's never about the one drug, but I always touch on my drug. You know, I'm a heroin addict. That's what I liked. That's what I love. I love heroin. I still love heroin. I think it's amazing. You know, I just can't use. I can't use. It just never worked out in my equation, you know. So when I got here suffering from all those things, right, I just didn't want to be dope sick, you know. it wasn't about abstaining from all things, the path I was on. I could still drink. I could still smoke some weed. I just don't want to be dope sick ever again. That, as good as it is, that doesn't work for me. You know? And, you know, God had another plan for me. And NA had a plan, has a plan for all of us. You know, if you didn't know it, if you're in this room right now, you are lucky. You are a miracle. You are special. You are loved. I always like to remind people of that. You know, again, the people that know me, they know I love Narcotics Anonymous. Like, unbelievable. Like a mother loves their child. That's how much I love Narcotics Anonymous for real. You know, and I love Oklahoma. The people that know me know I talk about Oklahoma a lot. I'm not from here. I visit often as I can, and I love my people here. This is where I come to get recharged, reset, sometimes when I just need shoulders to lean on. And it's been that year for me, my path, my journey, you know. So, you know, I showed up like the rest of us, you know. Like I said, the pain and suffering. I didn't show up here because my life was so good and I just wanted to make it a little better. You know, I was at that rock bottom. I was at the point where when I looked in the mirror, it was just utter disgust. I didn't want to kill myself, but I didn't want to be alive anymore. I often say it like this, like if I could drive to the hospital and like donate all my organs to save lives, I just want to go out on a good note and be done. I'm just tired. That was my explanation, you know. And I also showed up, I was the path I was on. Misinformed, confused, you know, I had these weird, morbid perspectives of everything, you know, entitlement, you know, money, relationships, being a man, family, you know. I had all my own ideas, see? I just had no idea. I want to thank Kim for speaking, Elaine for telling us some things. Life be life, and I really like that, you know, because it does. You know, I showed up here. I wasn't just a victim. I was the victim. See, people get what I'm saying. You know, I was the victim. And I knew no other way to survive. You know, that mentality, you know. And, you know, long story short, like we hear in meetings and like a lot of you might have experienced over some time in here making meetings, you know, some things started to happen out of nowhere, out of left field, you know. I couldn't stay clean for 30 minutes. I could not use for 30, you know, it was every 30 minutes in my life. Even when I was asleep, I wake up and I'd have to do my thing and then get some more sleep. And, you know, it was just that never-ending roller coaster of using, you know. I like to say I lived in the solution because I always got mine. You know, the ways and means to get that next one. Like, I was always able to grind when I was using and find that next one, no matter what I had to do. See, there was a no matter what club. I didn't even know about it. And no matter what, I was going to get mine. I was that addict when I got here. The only days I stayed clean was in prison, was when they got me. You know, dope sick in the cell. They all knew me by name. They knew my family. It was that insane. But to me, so confused and misinformed, it was almost like a cool factor to it. Like, okay, I get a break now. I'll be a little sick. But don't you know who I am? The victim? I'll be out in a minute and I'll be right back to what I was doing. But see, NA my higher power had this other plan, that I was going to meet some men, that I was going to hear some things, that I was going to hear some stories that ran parallel to mine. Because again, I was that addict too. Like, if you didn't do heroin, you aren't cool. Like, I don't get down with the crackheads. I would be telling the crackheads, you know, you got to be like me. Just come sit on my couch, do a bag of dope, just kick back. You know, what's this run around? There's bugs on me, there's mice in the room, I'm naked in a closet by myself. Like, I couldn't identify with that, you know? And it was at my very first NA meeting, right? It was my very first NA meeting. And there was this little woman in a wheelchair, and I'll never forget it, right? This is why they say don't judge and just, you know, listen to the message, not the messenger. And, you know, she had shared, and she opened with, "I just can't stop smoking crack." And right away in my head, I'm like, "Oh, here we go," you know? And by the end of her sharing, like, I'm sitting there, like, in tears. Like, and I mean, you know, the snotty ones, you know, it's on my shirt. I'm like, what is going on here? And I'm like, oh, my God, she just said every single thing that's in my head, every single thing I think of when I look in the mirror, every single thing I think of when I look at my kids and my wife and, you know, the life I have. And it changed me. You know, they talk about spiritual awakenings, and you know, my path when I got here opposed to when I stayed here, you know, it changed drastically immediately. And so did my perspective, you know. And I truly have to say I thank God for the men. And again, these are the paths. See, when I got here, you know, it was just so different, my mentality, and how I was able to watch it. And thank God for the men here before me that had the patience for Charlie, because I was a real jerk when I got here. I know I was, you know. And there were men that were patient enough and tolerant enough to tell me, like, you really are a jerk, you know? And, like, maybe if you stop being a jerk, more people would want to be around you, you know? And I was the guy, I always wanted that, but I wouldn't tell nobody that. I'd be like, Joe, I'm cool with just you. Like, we're cool. And he's like, yeah, but that's not how it works here, you know? And, you know, slow but sure, you know, the 30 minutes turned to an hour, turned to 6 hours. Before you know it, I pretended to go to sleep, woke up. I had a day and a half. And you know, real slow process for me. You know, I know there's people in this room, right, that went to NA, got a white key tag, and never had to get another one. And I commend that. But see, that's not my story. And I don't have any regrets about it. You know, I was talking with George. You know, my first time around, I was introduced and then I came back. But when I really came back, like, I stayed for a long time. And I ended up using. See, I'm going to get to it because of the path I'm on today, right? But I'm that guy, right? Like, I hit a bottom clean, can you believe it? You know, whoever did that. So like, I know what it's like to be clean and the pain and suffering come back. And then the decision making changes that path. I'm gonna say it's not the path for the journey to freedom. It's like that path of I took my will back somewhere and I'm doing things my way again. You know, and probably the most valuable thing I learned in NA to help me get where I'm at today was that evidence is real important. Because, like, once you have evidence, like, not only can they convict you, right? But you can't deny it. Like once the evidence is there, it's there. Once you know, you know. Like, let me say it, right? You don't ever have to use again. But some of us do. You know? But I started obtaining this evidence. Like, I showed up here, like I gave you some detail of how I was. Also part of, I always had a God in my life. But when I showed up here, the path I was on, my belief system, so misunderstood, you know, I felt it in my soul that he just gave up on me. He didn't have time for me. There were too many good people that needed him. He just didn't have time for Charlie anymore. And I realized real quick in Narcotics Anonymous when I really committed to the fact that I'm definitely an addict. That was all a lie. My higher power loves me. And always did. You know? I just had to learn how to love myself, which I never did. You know, I also showed up here the path I've been on my whole life. I never liked being me. I wanted to be our buddy Daryl. He was cracking jokes about it, but it's the truth. I wanted to be black. I wanted to be Puerto Rican. I wanted to be an Indian. I wanted to be my brother. I wanted to be my friend. I didn't want my parents. I wanted your parents. I mean, as far back as I could remember, I just never wanted to be me. And I didn't know why. So in a nutshell, I guess I felt like I was always broken, you know? And I got comfortable in that uncomfortable position, which just programmed me to be comfortable in uncomfortability, in chaos, in self-sabotage, right? The core of this disease, that self-centeredness, the self-sabotage. See, I never heard it laid down like that, but once I did, I was able to identify on such a spiritual scale that I was like, this is so me. And I too came from an awesome family, no addicts, no none of that. I mean, we were poor and I grew up on some, you know, that block cheese and stuff, but like we had what counted. But it didn't matter. I was just the person I was. And still am, but just didn't know how to handle it. You know, didn't know how to be happy. Didn't know anything but self-loathing. Again, remember, I'm the victim. The victim. You know? And, you know, I got in here, and something I take real serious are the suggestions. And one of them that was easy for me was the men with the men and the women with the women. And people want to argue about that. I don't care. Argue all you want. I know what that meant. I know what that meant. And it was easy for me, you know, because number one, I know how crazy I am, and Chris, I think women are crazier than men. So I'm like, there's no way. There's just no way. And women, you feel the same way about men. And I'm cool with that today. You know? And but make meetings, get a home group, get a sponsor, do step work, get involved with service. Like, I can puke that stuff out all day. Because that is the life-changing process that goes on in here. Talk about a miracle-making business, Narcotics Anonymous. Like this is a life-saving, life-changing program for a junkie like me when absolutely nothing else on the planet worked. And it's the truth. You know, talk about that journey to freedom and the awakening of my spirit and feeding my soul that I never even knew I had. I just felt soulless and left out and unloved, and God didn't care and nobody cared. and coming to believe, being restored to some sanity, and finding out everybody's always been there. God's always been there. Now I have a fellowship, a worldwide fellowship, full of people that care. I just had to learn how to step up and care for myself. Because my lifelong dream has been to love people, make a difference, change the world. And like, we do that on a daily basis. I was just talking to someone last night about the people getting clean on the screen. And like, I remember the first night that we came together, and some of us had this bright idea, we're going to start a Zoom meeting and we're going to let it run 24 hours. And that meeting's been running for almost 6 years, nonstop. Like, talk about a worldwide program with opportunity and support and people. Like, if you didn't know, I'm a part of that. You're a part of that. Everybody here. I get to be a part of that. So again, that path I was on, opposed to the path I jumped on board with at my first real NA meeting, not the introduction when I was high as a kite and didn't want to be there and couldn't wait to get out the door. You went for coffee, I went to the dope man. You know, when I really decided to show up and get involved and the journey I started, and it all started with a hug from a man and a woman's story, a crackhead. Like, are you kidding? And it changed my life. It changed my perspective. It changed Charlie's look on Charlie. You know, and I can get deep, deep, deep and quote the book and quote the steps and go over each and every one of them, but I'm not here to do that today. You know, I think I gave you a good idea of how it was when I got here, the path I came from, and it's real similar, right? The similarities to the path we were all on. You know, that self-destructive, if something's good, we destroy it. When I'm using, it's like a nuclear bomb goes off and I destroy everything around me. And I couldn't stand it anymore. You know, I just couldn't stand it. And fortunate for me, I wasn't the guy that showed up and was like, these people are all lying. I had these defects. I didn't even know what a defect was, but I had these defects when I showed up and I started coming around. I had this thing called jealousy, resentment, anger. Like, I hated everybody that looked happy. And it really bothered me because I didn't think you were lying. I believed it wholeheartedly, and it looked like this. I wish cancer on you all because, and that's horrible, right? But this is my truth because I'm never going to experience that. I just don't want to be dope sick. And some of you tell me I can experience it if I stay on this path, if I take the suggestions seriously, and I gave it my best shot. See, they told me, if you feel like your ass going to fall off, get to a meeting because someone in there got the ass glue. So I kept coming, man. You know, I was the guy. I was making 3, 4, 5 meetings a day, crying my eyes out, eventually smiling a little, then crying my eyes out again, and, you know, telling story with everybody that would listen to me. And, you know, for the first time in my life, people actually were listening and talking with me, not at me. Do you know what that looks like? Like, you ain't never going to amount to nothing. You're just going to end up in prison. You might as well just end it now. Like, that's all I ever heard talk at me. Like, I'd cry my eyes out to somebody and they would tell me, just get it over with. You're a loser. What? And for the first time ever in NA, I mean, my mother couldn't get through to me, telling me the same things in here. My mother been telling me about 12 steps her whole life. She don't know nothing about them. You know, be nice to people, be good to yourself, be responsible, have integrity. You know, there is a God. You know, I've been hearing all this stuff. This is nothing new to me. I just never could receive it. Evidence, right? The therapeutic value of that one addict helping another addict. I mean, it's just so undeniable in my life. You know? Because like I said, my truth is, I've been taught this stuff since I'm 3 years old. The drugs in my life are a problem, but they weren't the problem. I was the problem. You know? My path was the problem. You know? The fact that I replaced life be lifing with victimization, let's say, you know, only to find out I looked like a grown man, but I had never learned how to live life. I've never learned that life is going to happen no matter what, and it happens to every single one of us on the planet. Everybody in here got a trauma story, got a victim story, got a poor me story. And we all have the wonderful story. What I'm getting at is we all have a story that needs to be told for ourselves. And yes, for countless others. See, because I've done heard my story a million times now in NA. I hear it in all my friends, my people. There's no wonder God brings me together with certain people, closer than others, you know. But I love everybody. And I could really say that. And again, the people that know me know I don't play games with that. I love on everybody as hard as I can, to the best of my ability, all the time, no matter what. No matter if you stepped on my shoe, looked at my girl cross-eyed, I don't care. You know? Because I'm on a different path today. The path I used to be on, I might have stabbed you in the butt. Like, that was my thing in the day. You know? Because I had this belief that that ain't a felony. That ain't an attempted murder, stabbing in the butt. You know? But I would do that, you know. I just did bad things, you know. And it's not like that today, you know. And, you know, I feel like I'm babbling like everybody does when they get up here. But, you know, I know God had a plan for me. And I got to talk real quick. You know, so I told you, I got a few white key tags, right? And I was that guy, like, with substantial clean time. Back around 2003-ish, I caught a case clean. I hit a bottom. See, I didn't get into that. I just talked about hitting a bottom clean. And, you know, I caught a case and I had to go away. Clean. And, you know, our literature talks about some things like, you know, we'll end up in a corner we can't get out clean. And that was me. I ended up using, throwing it all away, you know. And thank God for you guys and my family, you know, that stepped right in and we had those conversations. And they were like, well, you got some time to think now, because if you think you're going to come home and be that guy again, you got another thing coming. And what I'm getting at is I was able to pump the brakes, even though I did cross the line and open up that compulsion. The good thing was I was going away. And I did. And I came home. And I got clean again. And then, you know, life be lifing. I love that. I love that. And, you know, the divorce came now. And ugly and horrible. And I used again. So I'm on my third white key tag now. And I could say this, you know, I knew because of the evidence, right? Undeniable evidence that I have already, right? Like that my God does exist. He does love me. Narcotics Anonymous, no doubt, is the most amazing fellowship on this planet Earth for a junkie like Charlie. I have people everywhere that love me and care about me anywhere I go. might not be the ones that I want to love me, but they're there, they show up like the military, you know, in times of need, when people pass, in sickness and in health, right? Like a marriage. It's amazing what goes on in here. But I got all this evidence, but the biggest evidence that's just undeniable are the things I got to stay connected to today so I don't use. Because fast forward, right? And now I'm on my path today, and it's been a good one. It's been, now I've got to experience, like my buddy Joel was talking about last night, George talks about it all the time, Dougie, I mean, we all talk. I know who lives, how they live, I observe, I watch, I allow mentors in my life, but what I'm getting at is this path now that I finally got on, got a better understanding of, I don't have it figured out, but I know if I stick to some certain things, like nothing will get me off that path, right? It's been a fabulous one. I've got to love so many people. I've gotten love back. I love myself today. I took a year off from women. That was the start of it. A year, a whole year. That was like the longest in my life since I'm 13. And some changes happened, and I focused on me, and, you know, for the first time in my life, this time around, like, I looked in the mirror, and, like, I was like, if my daughter brought a guy home just like me, I'd be okay. I like me today. I know what's in my heart. I know what I'm about. I'm not misinformed. I'm not confused anymore. But see, I'm leading up to the banger. So last year, about 14 months ago, I caught another case clean. And it's a monster. You know, the worst one of my life. And, you know, it kicked up a lot of stuff. Like, number one, the guilt and shame came back. I haven't felt that in a long time. I did so much work. I did work on the work on the work that I needed to do. You know, but I was still doing some things that I want to make light of it that were okay, man. There was no victims. It was no nothing, no none of that. I was, honestly, I could say I was helping people and, you know, but, yo, the feds are on a whole different level. They just, you know, it's just a different level that I knew nothing about. You know, and they did their thing, you know. They crippled me. And it was bad, you know. It was bad. It was dark. Like, all that stuff started happening to Charlie again after being on a long journey of, I just love my life. I'm the guy. I was the guy sharing the meetings. I don't know about what you guys say, but I'm happy all the time. And, like, even on a horrible day, even when my mother died, I was the happiest guy alive. They say a grateful addict will never use. You better believe I wake up every morning and remember what I'm grateful for. So when my mother died, you know, and I know a lot of people get this, you know, I was able to take care of her before that happened. In every way. Physically, financially, every way. She couldn't believe it. And it's all she ever wanted. She left in peace. But anyway, then this happened. Thank God she's in heaven. And when this happened, you know, and what I'm getting at is, you know, the feds crippled me. And it was bad. And I know I'm a man today because I think I faced it all with dignity. And I'm not running from it. And I know the consequences haven't even hit yet, even though they hit, you know. But see, this time, I didn't use. You know? I, I, I didn't use. And, you know, half the people I talk to, they're like, how you doing? You're not thinking about using, are you? Because if anybody was going to use, it'd be you right now. And I'm like, you want to know something? Like, it's not even a thought. I mean, it's always a thought. I told you, I love heroin. But it's not even a thought. Like, I love my life so much today. Like, I love Narcotics Anonymous so much today. And I got the evidence already of doing all that. You know, hitting a bottom, getting to a bottom, getting knocked to a bottom, and using, and it does nothing but make it worse. Like I'm not even gonna go there. And then I like to get mad and say, "Yo, the feds took everything, but they ain't taking me. They're not gonna take what I have obtained spiritually. I will not allow that to ever happen again." And it was you guys that showed up. It was you guys that reminded me, and I needed it like the dope. Every 30 minutes, man, people were coming and sleeping on my couch with me, just making sure I was okay. And it was you guys that reminded me, Charlie, you're the same guy on the same path. You're just going to do some things a little different, a little better. And it's going to be better. Don't worry about all the stuff. You get that back. You've done that 10 times. Like, we all know about losing stuff. Kim shared about it. And we get it back. You know? And I needed that. You know, my little bit of family I got left, they don't get it. They don't know about the therapeutic value. They just know, oh, here we go again. And it's like, all right, I know how to hear that and leave it right there. I know the watermelon philosophy. We eat the watermelon, we spit out the pits, we take what's good. I don't need that. I could just let them go through their process. They're on their path, the Charlie path. But they know this one's different. You know, they know this time's different. I haven't disappeared. I'm not in Spanish Harlem in an abandoned building, you know, chasing that next one anymore. And I don't want to. And just the last thing I'm just going to touch on real quick is the path I'm on today, right? This is important to me. I look at all you women, right? And I love you guys, you know? Because my whole life, somehow, you guys dealt with me when I was such a horrible person, man. I didn't know how to treat a woman, ever, ever. And my friend Manny, you know, he taught me it's okay to come up here and say you haven't put your hands on a woman in 20 years. You know, I learned that in NA. Even if it was I was able to justify, you know, because it's never, D, it's never, you know. I am so proud of myself today. I'm in a relationship. I love my wifey, and she loves me, and even though there's dark times and... You know, I never had to yell. I never yelled at her, cursed at her, called her name. You know, I know today I want to be treated like a king. I know what I got to do. No matter what. No matter how she treats me. And I miss her. She should be here with me. I promised her she's going to be everywhere with me. That's the path I'm on today. See, the path I came in on, it looked like this. I do whatever I want. You stay home, clean, cook, do the laundry, take care of the kids. And I believed that was okay. But I was always jealous and hateful of the people in the great relationships. Why can't mine look like that? And I'm going to close with this. The other thing that got me on the path that I'm on is simple, man. You know, the men that I pride myself of having in my life, you know, they told me some things, man. And the biggest one they told me to this day that I humbly follow to the best of my ability in all my affairs is, you want what I got? You got to do what I did to get it. You want to feel the way I feel? You got to do the things I do to feel that way. You want a relationship like mine, you got to do the things we do in our relationship. And it's simple, right? How complicated I was when I got here. Everything had to be chaos. Freedom. What was that? Getting out of prison, right? We don't, you know, we get clean. We don't have to go to prison no more. I might have to go. I'm going. But whatever, right? Like, those are the consequences to my actions. I'm okay with that. I know living the NA life, one day that's going to be all be behind me, and we're going to be at NOLA's chopping it up, telling story, laughing about it, as long as I don't use. I'll close with the most important thing. The most important thing I'm going to do today is get to bed without getting high. And as long as we do that, we have the opportunity to live these lives beyond our wildest dreams, man. Because that's my life today. I don't want your problems. I'll keep mine, and mine are bad right now. I learned that here. We all got them. You know, we all been victims. We all been this. So I just pray and beg that you just stay seated, man. You know, keep coming. Evidence. Meeting makers make it, man. That ain't no bullshit. Don't make light of that. Everybody I know with substantial clean time that comes back for a white key tag, there's no coincidence, man. It's the first thing they say. Yeah, I stopped going to meetings. Yeah, I know. I know what happens. I did that too. But today my path, my journey to freedom has brought me to a place I don't regret one day in prison. I don't regret one bag of dope I shot. I don't regret any of them white key tags. I don't regret any of the women I've hurt. I've made amends. I live in amends. And I just love my life. And most of all, I love you guys. I thank each and every one of you for the life I get to live today. So, again, I'm Charlie. I'm an addict. Thank you, guys.